Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry to get the inside word on what's happening right now and what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. This week I've partnered up with realestate.co.nz, who's kindly lent us their expert Vanessa Williams, and we're talking about what you need to know before you sell your house so that you can be the smartest seller out there. Making Sense is partnered with realestate.co.nz to get you the info you need in today's market. Property hunting can be a bit of an emotional roller coaster with its fair share of stress. That's where realestate.co.nz comes in. They've been helping Kiwis buy, sell, and rent since 1996, and their app is designed to make it easier and faster. What sets them apart? Flexibility. Realestate.co.nz gives you so many ways to search and so much information to help you make decisions. Realestate.co.nz. Download the app today. Before we get into it, Making Sense is stoked to be supported by KiwiBank. We've teamed up to bring you insight directly from their people, the experts who live and breathe this stuff every day. It's not the outdated stuff that worked 5 years ago. It's what's happening right now in the industry to help you make the most of your money. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Hey, Vanessa, welcome back. Now, selling, it's a tricky one, right? Because I know a few episodes ago, we were talking about how it's a buyer's market at the moment. Sellers are a little bit on the back foot. And that does make things stressful, right? Because it's a lot of money for people. So would we still say buyer's market at the moment, do you think?
Hello, everybody. Well, thank you so much for having me back. Hey, look, I would say on the whole, it is still a buyer's market. And the reason for that is that we have quite a lot of stock or houses for sale on the market at the moment. So we are still seeing that it's definitely buyers are more in the driver's seat. But what I will say is we certainly had a vibe shift, if we want to call it that, in the property market towards the end of 2023 because we really saw those interest rates drop. Now, the property market is so driven by interest rates because, as we know, when those are up, it's more expensive to borrow money and therefore the house becomes more expensive. And also borrowing power does decline as well. So, you know, it definitely has quite a big impact on the property market. So yes, I would say that it is still a buyer's market at the moment. But what I would say is that I have been to a few open homes over the summer break just because I can't help myself. And look, there are still some really great properties out there that are selling. I spoke to one of our top real estate agents actually in Tauranga from where I'm from, and he had a house for sale, really great first home buyer home with 8 offers on the market. So, you know, there's certainly good properties that are selling with realistic vendors, but on the whole, with all the houses we've got available at the moment, it's still probably more of a buyer's market than a seller's, but I would say it could be shifting.
Interesting. Okay, so if someone's hearing all of that and they're thinking, well, that's all well and good, but I need to sell no matter what's going on, got to sell. Where do you start to lay some good groundwork on this?
Yes, that is, I think, a really, really important question for all our listeners and viewers out there is that do it start by doing your own research. So, of course, mostly you might say, maybe we'll sell in 3 or 6 months. I mean, if you have to sell quite quickly, you might want to get in, dive in with experts really quickly. But if you're sort of thinking, right, 2025 is the year, actually, we do want to sell our house this year. We don't really have a preference on when, but we do know we want to move this year because we need to upsize or downsize or whatever it might be. Start your research today. Get yourself au fait with the different terminologies. I know we've sort of spoken a bit about what's the difference between an asking price and a selling price and how much do they marry up. Start to understand your neighborhood and what is in your neighborhood, how many properties are for sale, especially ones that are around either your age of property or, more importantly, your number of bedrooms and bathrooms, because that will give you a bit of a an indication of A, what your competition's like. Well, how many three-bedroom, two-bathrooms are there in my suburb? Where does mine fare on that? Is it quite more well-specced, or actually are we probably in the lower end of the market? And then just start to do your research yourself around those prices, either online. You can read the news, and I know I have said before as well, grab the property headlines, read the article, but then also dig a little bit deeper into where that data came from and see if you can find anything that's specific to you, your neighborhood, or your area or type of house. But I would say, if it's not an emergency quick sale, is I would start by doing your own research first. And then when you go and chat to a real estate agent, you've already got a bit of a baseline that you can help ask informed questions to that expert to help you then again better understand the market.
All right. So walk me through how that might look in reality. Pretend you don't have your job, because obviously you have so much wonderful data at your fingertips. But if you were in a different job and you were thinking, okay, I need to start researching, I want to see other houses in the areas, especially ones that are similar sort of age, property, similar sort of stats, where do you go to find that sort of info and keep track of it? How can you do that?
Fabulous. So shameless plug for realestate.co.nz, but in the top bar of our website, there is Market Insights, and you can go there, type in your suburb, and you'll find everything from the number of properties to the price over 10 years, over 3 years, over 1 year. It will also tell you sales versus asking versus how many properties are even in that area for rent and what the median rent is. So if you're looking at an investment as an example, then that's a great place to go. So there is data there at a suburb by suburb level, and there is heaps of it. It's actually really easy to digest there. The other place I would go is that in your area, I know we've spoken about this before, but just go and be nosy at open homes. I still think that's a really great way to understand your market, understand what's happening, and also get to know some local real estate agents too, because, you know, at some point you're going to want to get some real estate agents into your living room to chat about marketing your property. So what you want to do is perhaps go and see how they're presenting quite a few of the listings in and around the area and ask them for any local sales data that they might have on specific properties or any other additional information. Most times real estate agents are really happy to give you quite pointed on the ground information. And as I said, news sites are a really great place to just start, especially if you're wanting to get a bit of a vibe check on what's happening on the total market. That's a really good place to sort of get started as well.
Love it. Okay, that's really good stuff. One of the other things as well, I mean, when it comes to the actual selling, one of the first things you do to actually get moving is pick a real estate agent. And there are billboards everywhere. What is it with real estate agents and having those enormous billboards right on the side of the motorway? They love it. And there's billboards everywhere from various people telling you that they are the best and they've won all these awards and they're so great. How do you actually figure out who's good and who's not?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. So the way that I look at it is you have a unique suburb in New Zealand. I think there's over 5,000 suburbs in New Zealand. And I would find someone who knows a lot about your suburb, about your area, about the kind of community that you're in. The second thing I would do is you've probably got a property that's quite unique. So the property is a spectrum. We have first home buyer houses right through to very luxurious, beautiful properties. Somewhere in the middle, we also have five-bedroom homes, which could be good for, say, two types of family members versus a one-bedroom home with a, let's call it a half-bedroom that's utilized for more a podcast studio, you know. And so think about what it is, the type of house that you've got. And when you're getting a real estate agent into your living room, ask them specific questions that relate to the location of your property and also the type of property that you've got. Because you've got to remember that they're kind of coming in and it's basically a job interview for them. So if you think about it like a job interview, like where I'm employing this person because I want them to take my biggest asset and, you know, really find the best person to buy it. So don't be afraid to interview your real estate agents. I always do recommend, and some people have, this has been a really interesting question for me. I actually said it at a barbecue over summer. You know, I'd get at least two or three in, and most people around the table went, what? two or three, or wouldn't you feel like you were kind of, you know, being a bit unfair to the first one? They said, well, no, this is a really big investment. You want to make sure that you feel like you're going to have a really open, honest, clear communication chat with this person. Because not only is it quite expensive to sell your house, but you do pay for what you get and you want them to work really hard for you. So I would always recommend getting two or three in there, asking them some, you know, think about it like a job interview. And then also what I really love is ask them around, what properties have you sold like this one recently? And the reason I say that is because hopefully they've got a big pool of buyers that missed out on that particular property, or at least they know of some buyers who are interested in your specific property because they just sold one very similarly.
If you're looking for property, start with realestate.co.nz, New Zealand's longest standing property site. They've been dedicated exclusively to property since 1996. That's even before Google. Whether you're buying or renting, no other property site gives you as much information. The Market Insights feature lets you view the median asking, sale, and rental prices in a suburb for over 1, 3, or even 10 years. Want to know what a property is worth? The estimated sale price range uses the latest sales figures from the real estate industry. Scroll to the bottom of a property listing to discover what it sold for in the past, the council valuation, and what you can expect to pay for it even before you view it. Become the property expert. Download the realestate.co.nz app and make informed decisions fast. Life is full of ups and downs, so no matter what your everyday looks like, KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. To find out more, head to kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we tend to get squeamish when we're the ones who are paying someone for their time. Oh, you know, I can't waste their time. And as someone who knows a lot of real estate agents, let me tell you, they get this all the time. They absolutely know that people want to find the best person to sell their house. They're very used to coming in, giving you their 2 cents, and then sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. That is all part of the job for them. I have yet to meet a real estate agent who is offended by that process. So I hope that puts everyone's mind at ease. Marketing, that's a really important part of the selling process. People don't buy what they don't know exists. So what's in, what's out when you're trying to market your house? And is anything a waste of money?
So you definitely cannot sell a secret. I tell this to people, it's like, I want to sell my house, but I don't want to spend money on marketing. And I think, my goodness, really? You want your most prized possession, typically, to look in its best light with the best amount of exposure so that you can find not only a perfect buyer, you want kind of a few. So hopefully you can get into a point of negotiation. So that's the dream, right? And so, look, I think, you know, when you're chatting with those real estate agents, they will be able to talk specifically to your property and about what is good, what is, you know, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And of course, this has all got to fit within a budget. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should go well out of something that you cannot afford, but certainly think about it as an investment into your investment of making sure that you can get the best exposure to sell it. Now, to your question about when do people waste money, the biggest time I have seen people waste money is that they will get a real estate agent in, three real estate agents in, and they pick the real estate agents that's saying that they're going to sell their property for the most money. And then what happens is that's an unrealistic expectation on price that is just not where the market is. And so they either get offers that are far lower than that, so they're not willing to sell for that amount, or they have to end up feeling really disgruntled about the purchase price. Now, the reason I say that where that wastes the money is that if you don't understand your market first, that's why I say do your research first, because everybody can think, but in 2021, my house was worth. And it's like, unfortunately, we're not in 2021 anymore. The market has changed. The market has moved. Buyers and seller dynamics have changed. So you've got to reset your expectations for where the market is now. And the worst thing you can do is go, let's just pretend I get three real estate agents in, two say to me $808.50 and one says to me, oh, I can get you 1.2. If you go for the 1.2 million and we get a couple of offers in at 825 and 850, and then you pull your property off the market, because I'm not selling for that, all of that money you invested in the marketing is gone. And so what I always say to people is really ensure that your price expectations are where they need to be, because you can't really test a market. I mean, you might want to pop your house on and not do any marketing and see what happens, but the chance of you getting some live buyers is really slim, right? Because you're not marketing it, so people don't know about it. And so what I would say to people is, you know, really think through, right, what is my price expectation? Is that realistic with the market? Of course, you'll try and get, you know, what you can, but the market is where the market is. And if you're willing to accept that, then your marketing won't go to waste. It's if you have to market it, not accept the price, and then you can't, it comes off the market. You think, oh man, there goes that $5,000 that I just spent on marketing that you can't reuse really.
100%. You've kind of got to decide, are you in or you're out on this process? And I know it can feel like a lot of homework to do, but if you think about how much work you put into getting a job, which, you know, that's your income for the year, and then you've got this enormous asset, which is your house, it might be worth $1 million, and you want to get the best you can from there, you know, a little bit of homework could be the difference of tens of thousands at the end of the day. But just like you say, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Where you do want someone on your team who's going to be getting you the best price for that house. But there is also what's sometimes called buying the listing, where a real estate agent might come in and make all sorts of promises about how they can get you really top dollar. And there are some who are so good at their job, and that's accurate. And there are some who are waving a bunch of money in front of your face so that you'll sign up with them, they get the commission, and then they're hoping that you'll just accept whatever turns up. And if you've done a bit of that homework before to see what's in the area and you're asking them those questions, like what you've said about, you know, what have you done for other people in my situation? What have you done with other properties similar to this one? You're able to sort through a little bit more and say, do I believe what this person is telling me about what they're going to achieve? You've got a bit more of an education to make a good choice on who's on your team, right?
Oh, yeah. And that team is really important. You know, it is a team sport, property buying, and whatever that team looks like, but usually that consists of some builders and some lawyers, and, you know, a really good real estate agent makes all the difference, will explain everything to you. And yeah, you're right. I think sometimes we forget that this is our biggest asset. You know, we put so much, we've got 40 hours a week into our job. And it is hard when you're selling, because you feel like then you've got a second job. It's the same with when you're buying, right? You're like, oh my goodness, how can I go home and then search property till 8 o'clock tonight or 12 o'clock tonight? But, you know, typically it's for a short period of time as well. And as you are so right, it's like if you just do that bit of extra homework, it's really going to help you in the long run. And don't be afraid to ask questions and get those experts right, because it's absolutely a team sport.
Yeah. And to keep the sport metaphor going, it is a sprint effort where you might have to go hard for a bit, just like you're saying, but hopefully it's not too long. It's not a marathon. You're not running full tilt for a marathon length. It's a sprint. So just, you know, remember it's not going to last forever. Now, last thing I want to hit you on for this one, are there different ways of selling that work in different markets, maybe different houses, your own personality? What sort of things impact the best sales tactic to use?
Yeah, this is a really interesting one as well, because I always like to look at, so there's what we call price type method. And so what that means is that's kind of how you are selling, how you're accepting offers. So more recent sort of data is we're around 30% of listings on our site have a display price. So that might be the vendor's asking for $1 million. So you know at that point that as a buyer, I've either got $1 million or I don't. That's either could be for me or it might not be for me. You know, so you really quickly weed out whether you've got a buyer or not, because you're basically saying that's my number. And that's a pretty clear, it's about 30% of all listings. So one in three listings has a price on it. And then, which I think most people are aware of, is auctions. And so about 24% of listings have auctions. In a pretty typical market, I'm talking, but 24% are marketed by auction. Now, the difference with an auction is that can work quite well in a hot market if there's plenty of buyers circling around and you've really got a busy auction room. So when I looked at some of our past data and those really busy times in COVID, we had auctions up to almost 40% in a hot market. So that was a jump from 24% to almost 40%. And again, that is because there was lots of buyers around, really heavily invested in property at the time.
So you're hoping with there's so much competition,
yeah,
you'll get them all in a room and they bid up and it pushes up the price.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the hope. And it's a very public way of selling your house. So that can be both a good and a bad thing. And the other thing I would say is that with an auction is you need the buyer. So then that hammer goes down, providing it's on the market. You've got to be an unconditional buyer. Now, where that might weed out some potential buyers is the likes of a first home buyer who's going to use their KiwiSaver as a deposit, right? Or if somebody sees your house the day before it's going to auction, they absolutely love it, but they don't have time to get their finance sorted and the building report together. So you could potentially with an auction, you can sometimes weed out some buyers who might be able to purchase your house, but just can't due to the inability to be an unconditional buyer. But, you know, it's a very public way. It's very, you know, you can see exactly what everybody's paying for because they're putting their paddles up in the market. And again, it's sometimes as a vendor, if you do want to go, well, realistically, am I being unreasonable as a vendor? Well, you go, well, put it up to auction and the market will tell you what it's worth. You know, people will bid up to what it's worth. So there's a few pitfalls. And look, you know, you've got to be the type of person that wants. I mean, I think everybody gets nervous at an auction, you know. And so, you know, be honest with your real estate agent. If that's not for you, then that's okay too. You know, ask the questions around it and get a bit more of an understanding. But the third probably sort of biggest group is buyer negotiation. And this is about 20% of listings again, so about one in five. And that really means that, look, we're open, put an offer on the table. It's not public. We can put it in an envelope and we can discuss it with the vendor, but that's really is where it becomes a negotiation. And again, as a vendor, you might, as I will just go back to my example before when I was saying, you know, 800 and 850 and then one real estate agent said 1.2. I went in and went with that top real estate agent. Well, if the 800 and 850 came in an envelope as a negotiation, it really tells you where the market is. And anyone can put in a negotiation as well. So whether you're a first home buyer or you might be able to say, look, I put this offer on the table, but I still really need to do the building report because I just haven't had time to do it in the last 24 hours. So there's a little bit more flexibility in that way. It's not so public. And yeah, it can be a little less nerve-wracking, but it is always exciting when you get the real estate agent's number pop up on your phone and they go, right, we've got an offer. I'm coming over for a cup of tea this afternoon and we're going to talk through what it is, you know. So there's different methods. And as I said, when you are selling, again, when you're interviewing your real estate agent, talk to them about how they would recommend selling your type of house with your type of personality, what you're comfortable with. And really, you know, make sure you ask lots of questions around it. And there's lots of information online as well that you can read about the different sale methods as well. But your property expert or your real estate agent will be able to help you out with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you find someone that's good, boy, are they helpful. I remember when we were selling our first home, and the agent that we went with described it as a Marmite house. So some will love it, some will hate it. And he said, look, we're going to try and find two people that love it and then make them fight. And that's all we need. Two people that love it and they are going to really love it. And he was right. He did a great job. And so that was a really good experience for us. He was a very experienced agent and he didn't necessarily promise us the highest price, but I think he definitely got us there at the end by the time he found those two people who absolutely loved it. So thank you so much for all of those tips and tricks there, Vanessa. That's Vanessa Williams from realestate.co.nz giving us the inside word on how to be the smartest seller and hopefully sell that asset that you've got for the most that you can. If you have more questions on this or anything else to do with money, send them through. This one, again, was based on listener questions. I've been getting quite a few slightly stressed sellers getting in touch with me, so I hope this helped. If you have more questions, we can answer them in a future episode. So send them through. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok as Frances Cook NZ. Also heaps more money content on there for you. Don't forget to subscribe to Making Sense so you get even more tips and tricks with your money. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.